The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to This Week in Modified Country. Tonight, we'll talk with Mike Mahaney, the winner of the Ice Jam 40, the season-opening feature event for the Track of Champions, the Fonda Speedway. That's all coming up next on This Week in Modified Country on the DirtTrackChannel.com. With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
Hi, this is Stuart Friesen, and you're listening to This Week in Modified Country.
And welcome, Braves fans, to This Week in Modified Country. Now, in the press release that came out from the Fonda Speedway in the Ice Jam 40, our next guest said he doesn't know if people really know who he is, but those of you who listen to our webcast from the Woodhull Raceway sure know who he is. We're going up now to Kings Ferry, New York, and talk with the winner of the Ice Jam 40 at the Fonda Speedway, the youngster, Mike Mahaney. Mike, welcome. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and congratulations on the big win to open up the 2012 season of Fonda.
Hey, thanks, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, sure thing. Always a pleasure to talk with you and your dad. You guys always run well down there at the Woodhull Raceway. But winning at Fonda, that's a very special place considering where it stands, not only in the history of New York, but a portion of it in NASCAR history. A few days now since you've won, has it sunk in that your name will forever be in the record books as a winner at the Fonda Speedway?
It is starting to sink in. You know, it was such a surprise to get the win there, and we really didn't expect it going into the night. But it just feels huge to me to get a win there. Just, you know, I never thought that I would come something going to a, sort of an invasion or an invader track like that. Just didn't think that would happen this early in my career. You know, it usually takes me a while to learn a track or to get it figured out and get some speed in the car at a certain track. But this is only our third trip to Fonda, and we were pretty quick, so I'm excited for things to come.
Three trips to Fonda, and you pick up a win. That is pretty impressive, folks, because I had the opportunity to announce there for a year, and it's a tough place to win at. And to do it in just three races, I'd say that is pretty impressive. So tell me a little bit about the race, and at what point during the feature did you start to realize, hey, I'm in a position, I might win this thing?
I had a lot of confidence after the heat race when we were battling it out with Ronnie Johnson for the lead and ended up coming out with the win in the heat race. I mean, he's a track champion there last year, so I figured, heck, if we can keep up with him, we might be able to keep up with the rest of them. So we started fourth in the feature and got up to second early, and I thought we had something for Elmo Rechner, who was leading. But every time I got beside him, he kind of leave me and pull away. So I knew I had to save my tires for the end if I wanted any chance of beating him. So just trying to keep from spinning him and keep some tire for the end of the race. And he seemed to, every time I got near him, get really after it. So I think I was wearing him out a little bit. And I think saving the tires is kind of what got me at the end, got me to the lead. And, you know, Matt DeLorenzo showed up with a few to go on the inside when I was battling with Elmo. And I knew that if I wanted to stay ahead of him, I needed to take his line away. So I got ahead of him and kind of took the bottom. And Elmo was on the top, and got a good run on the inside of the front stretch. There's some good grip down there, and got by him, Elmo, and never looked back. It was a pretty exciting race, you know, with kind of almost getting the lead so many times, and then finally with only two to go to get the lead and win it, just just felt really cool.
Well, you mentioned a couple interesting things there. Excuse me. First off, Matty DiLorenzo, a great driver in his own right. He can win, so you obviously knew you had some tough competitors there. But going back to your heat win, were you chasing Ronnie down to get the heat race win?
No, we started up front, and he kind of got alongside me on the first lap, and we battled it out for a lap, and then I stayed ahead of him and pulled away a little bit, and then a few laps later, he got back beside me again, and I thought, man, he must be coming. And so I pushed it just a little bit harder and then left him again. So I guess I had a little bit more in my tank than I knew I had. And that kind of got me prepped for the feature, you know. That made it so that I was able to come out in the feature and just run that hard off right off the bat. Sometimes it takes somebody pressuring you to get all you can get out of your race car. And, you know, because if you're out there leading and you don't need to push it, you don't want to overdo it and make a mistake. So if there's nobody pressuring you, you're kind of not really going at your full speed.
And, of course, if you were not in the lead but chasing Ronnie, well, there's nobody right now better to chase to learn the right line around Fonda than Ronnie Johnson. And, of course, for our fans in Australia who are modified fans who may not have seen or heard about Fonda, it's a D-shaped oval, but it's a little bit different because getting into three is a key. But as you also said, the front stretch, it's pretty narrow. Why, for the life of me, they ever put those jersey barriers in on the front stretch on the inside, I will never understand that one. I still to this day don't understand why they just don't take them out, because they're really a safety hazard.
It is an interesting thing. I mean, the track is such an unusual shape. It makes it kind of seem like a road course, because you got such different corners in each end of the track. And the D-shaped backstretch just provides a huge speed coming into three, and you can almost run in wide open all the way through three, and then the corner really doesn't start until you come into four, and then there's a really sharp corner coming onto the front stretch, and you gotta cut it tight to not only, I mean, miss the inside jersey barrier there, but then once you get past that, then the outside wall comes up real quick, so
yeah.
You gotta hit it just right to make it through there, and you know, they could take that out, but I think honestly it would make it a little less racy, because that's the toughest part of the racetrack for the drivers. And I mean, you know, it probably could cause some accidents, but I think at least in the modified ranks, I think we got a really good quality field of drivers who can handle it. And you know, it's been that way for so long, I don't see why they should change it.
Yeah, but at the same time, if there's a major accident coming up, there's no real escape route like there used to be when the jersey barriers weren't there. So that's the other that issue of that. But, you know, what we haven't mentioned to the fans, for our modified friends in Australia, there is a big river off of turn two. Now, only two guys in the history have ever gone into the river, but you got to be careful there off of turn two. You don't want to be going down into the Mohawk, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of room to get out wide on the back stretch, but you don't want to go too far there.
Now, in the 40-lap feature, I'm curious, just from your standpoint, only being your third time there at Fonda, do you, and as you just mentioned, the different entrances that you have into turn three, which really starts in turn four, and being able to get down, and then that wall coming up on you on one, and then trying to swing around to get the run down the backstretch. Do you ever actually have time to catch your breath, or is everything happening so quickly that by the time 40 laps is over, you're almost exhausted just because of the way the track is laid out? I'm just curious.
The way the track is laid out, it does make it tiring, but I think if there was a one spot on the track where you could kind of take a breath and loosen your grip on the steering wheel for a second would be the back stretch, I guess, because it's so wide and there is, and you are kind of just making a nice wide arc coming out of two. But then as soon as you get to three, I mean, you better hang on, because it's almost, you watch the videos and it's almost like the cars speed up going into three. They don't slow down going into the corner. They almost look like they just hit the nitrous button and then they sped up going in the corner, because the camera has to move so fast to keep up with them, because they've all started turning and they're going the same speed they just were. It's pretty exciting to watch on the video. I just got the thing in the mail, and I got home from work today. I'm watching it right now while I'm doing this interview.
Hey, that's pretty cool. Well, when you get done watching that, you need to head on over to thedirttrackchannel.com and check out our YouTube page. We had a three-camera set up with Ronnie Johnson a couple years ago, and he took us for a pretty good ride around Fonda with our Jones Cam Ion HD in-car camera, the official in-car camera of the Dirt Track Channel, and it's a pretty wicked ride. I mean, I myself would not mind jumping in a modified one day, just checking it out, but you know, I'll let the camera ride along with Ronnie there for when we did that, and that was a pretty neat deal. We're talking with Mike Mahaney, second-generation driver out of King Ferry, New York, who picked up the win at the Track of Champions, the Fonda Speedway in Fonda, New York, last Saturday afternoon in their season-opening Ice Jam 40. How was 2011 for you, racing-wise?
You know, it was a good season. We had all kinds of troubles here and there with just trying to finish out wins and stuff like that. But we did get a win at Fulton Speedway, and we had a close second at Brewerton. And we had some really good runs at Hughes County before they closed, and we had the points lead there. So we ended up, when they closed, we ended up going to Utica Rome and trying to figure that place out. And towards the end of the year, we started getting better and had a top five finish in one of the last races. And then at the New Yorker, we were leading until I broke my pitman arm getting together with a lap car, trying to fight through the traffic, battling out with Ryan Phelps for the lead there. So, and, you know, we had the speed at the end of the year, so I'm kind of excited to go back there this year and see what we can do.
And I guess, you know, that's one of the frustrations that race fans may not fully understand from the cockpit. And that's a big race, the New Yorker, and it pays very well. And getting caught up in the jingle and losing the lead and losing the big payday. And I guess, you know, other things like having a tire blow coming to the checkered flag or having the engine go down the backstretch with a lap and a half to go. I guess it's really hard for race fans to put into perspective what that must feel like. But you're still young, you're just 22, but from your standpoint, what is it like to get in that jingle knowing that, you know, you and or Ryan Phelps were the both of you are going to be right there at the end to win one of the
bigger... Everybody came up to me after that race and said, oh, man, if you only had a little more patience. I think they're right. I looking back on it, I wish I had more patience and just seen what I could have done if I let that lap car go by rather than push the issue and try to get by him right then. I mean, we were side by side for the lead in a $10,000 to win race. I wasn't about to give up the lead or let off at that point, you know. So I was pushing every bit I could to win that race, and it was only about 25 laps into a 100 lap race. And I mean, I was not about to give it up. And I think that's something that people have to understand is that, I mean, you don't have rear-view mirrors in these cars. You don't know if you can, when you're leading, if you can take it easy or give up one lap. I mean, if I say I slowed down there and was a little more patient, maybe Ryan Phelps got by me. I never get back by him the rest of the race. So either way, to me, it's first or last. I don't really care. I wanted to win that race more than anything. So I just took that chance, and I guess we have to live with it. So. Hopefully next time things ended our way.
So what's on tap, Mike, for this year? What's your plans looking like for 2012?
We definitely have big plans to run Utica Rome regularly. And I want to see if we can maybe get a win there. That'd be really cool. And we're looking at possibly running Brewerton and Fulton regularly too. So three nights a week might be tough, so we might have to pick and choose here and there, but we'll see if we can do it. And I don't know. We'll have to see what comes up here, because, you know, with our recent win at Fonda, it made us think about going there too. It's a hard decision right now. With when you have success like that, it makes you feel like, man, we ought to, you know, rethink this and maybe try some different tracks. Because, I mean, heck, we've been racing at some of the same tracks all these years, and with limited success, and then we go to a track that we don't really race at and win. So, you know, maybe we should try some of these tracks that we haven't run at before and see what happens.
So are you thinking about points racing or not thinking about points racing for the year? Is that sort of a toss up at the moment?
Yeah, it's a toss up. I mean, it's hard for us to points race as kind of a family run team. It's just you know, things happen, and we don't have a stacker hauler with a backup car like a lot of these teams, and it's just hard to points race. And I almost have more goals just to try to win as many races as I can anyway. The hard thing is, if you don't run at a track weekly, you get kind of penalized with handicap if you just want to show up on a regular on any old night. At most places, besides tracks like, I think Woodhull, you can show up and you draw, which is nice because we can just, you know, say on a Saturday night we want to go there, we just go, and we have as good a chance to race as anybody. So, I like places like that.
Now, last year you also did some stints with the Race of Champions and the BRP Modified Tour. Any thoughts about what you're going to be able to do for the rest of the season? Should you be able to hit some of those special shows?
Yeah, we will. We will hit up shows from both of those series, especially the local ones around our area. Some of the out-of-state, farther travel ones are harder for us to go to, but we do have Northern Biodiesel that gives us biodiesel for our hauler. That helps us out with the fuel bill getting to the tracks that are further away, along with other sponsors like Alloy Materials Handling and BA Custom Headers and P&M Fab. And I just can't thank those guys enough for getting us to some of these further away tracks and giving us the opportunity to run more races than we would without any help.
Mike, as always, we thank you for your time, and we appreciate it. Always a pleasure to speak with you. And again, congratulations on picking up your first ever win at the Fonda Speedway in the Ice Jam 40, the season opener for the track champions.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure thing. Well, folks, as we said in the open, a lot of people may not have heard of him, but those who listened to our broadcast from Woodhull sure did. He's a great young man and has a bright future in the sport. Second generation driver Mike Mahaney from King Ferry, New York, joining us here on This Week in Modified Country. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Welcome back to This Week in Modified Country, everybody. Special thanks to our guest tonight, Mike Mahaney, for joining us here and talking about his season-opening win at the Track of Champions. Just a couple quick little notes for you. Danny Johnson opening up the Super Dirt Car Series with a win last week in the Jan Cochran Memorial. 73rd win for the Doctor at Canandaigua and a 71st series win. Rick Laubach picked up a marathon win on Sunday afternoon at the Big Diamond Speedway. The 40-lapper took 53 minutes to complete. Big Diamond Speedway is moving their start time on Sunday to 6 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock. Kevin Bolin won at Sharon Speedway. That's his 19th career win there. Speaking of Sharon Speedway, we'll have two live webcasts for you there this year for you Modified fans. July the 10th, the Lou Blaney Memorial, which will be a live fly-to-fly coverage, including the 410 sprint cars with Tony Stewart, Casey Kane, among many drivers appearing, and Dave Blaney as well in the 410s. And the BRP Modified Tour is there for the Russ King Memorial, and that takes place on September the 1st. So two live webcasts for you this year, for you Modified fans, from Sharon Speedway in Hartford, Ohio. And congratulations goes out to Kevin Britton, who won the New South Wales V8 Dirt Modified Championship this past weekend at Lismore Speedway. As many of you know, father of Kevin and Pete Britton passing away unexpectedly a few weeks ago. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Again, be sure to tune in on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock for more of This Week in Modified Country. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.